Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And our prescription today is all about enjoying the great outdoors. Now, you might be a little confused first because you're thinking, what is that noise going on, Jessica? This does not sound like your usual show, and you're right, it's not. I am actually in Dallas at the convention for the National Religious Broadcasters. Now, this is the largest annual gathering of Christian communicators in the world, and I am here with American Family Radio. So if you're listening on your drive time, if you are driving a truck down the road, if you're patrolling the streets, if you're waiting in the carpool line to pick up your kids, wherever you are, just put up with our background noise because we've got some great information for you here today. If you've been listening in, you know that we have 52 Habits for Healthy Families. Every week, we introduce a new habit, and this week, we are talking about sleep hygiene. I know, that sounds so silly, but sleep is so essential to our holistic health. So be sure to listen in on Friday on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I'm going to answer all the questions about the TikTok teen sleep trends. Are they good? Are they harmful? I think you probably know the answer to that, but I'll give you some more information about that. Also, talk about some concerns I have about newborn sleep that are coming up. But really, we've spent 2 weeks talking about bedtime. Last week was bedtime routines. And for these first 2 months, we've just been talking about rhythms for your family, those basic building blocks of spiritual disciplines that are so important. And now we're going to continue on. We have a few more rhythms that we'll look at, but be sure to check those out. If you've missed any of them, you can go to the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, just 1 minute to catch you up on each habit. Well, today we are here at NRB, which is super exciting, and I have an in-studio guest, which is a rare treat for us. We really love that. Today we've got Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA, hence the great outdoors. We're going to be talking about that, although there's so much more to that. We've had Mark on the show before, and I know some of you are listening thinking, oh my gosh, we're in Trail Life. This is so exciting. And some of you are thinking, what is Trail Life? And so Mark's going to tell you about that. Now, Mark began his career founding a national advertising agency and running it for 15 years. His conversion to Christ led him to ministry as a youth and college pastor, an associate pastor, a homeless ministry director, and global event director. He's so highly qualified, but today he is directing Trail Life USA. So we're going to get into more of your bio and your ministry. And, you know, Mark, just first of all, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad.
In your huge, enormous studio that you have here.
Listen, with all these crowds of thousands, the audience can't see, but there are thousands of people around us.
Cheering people.
Watching. Yes. But it is. It's a busy place. But, you know, Mark, tell us, one of the things I love is how God calls people out of different ministries. You were in advertising. How did you go from advertising to leading this ministry?
Wow, crazy story. It feels like a different life. When I graduated from college, I opened an advertising agency, right? When I look back now, I said, what was that 22-year-old kid thinking? But it ended up being successful. But along the way, I met Christ. Mm. And that changed everything. And I could not continue in that business. I was called into something else. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 7 years to close the advertising agency. It had become complex. So it took me 7 years to let our clients move on and find other places. And finally, when I closed it, went into ministry. Went back to school, got a couple of master's degrees, mental health counseling and marriage and family therapy, and went into private practice and did that. And years later, ended up traveling around the world, putting together evangelistic campaigns in 5 continents. And my wife and I raised 2 sons. They were active in Boy Scouts, and went about 10 years ago. In fact, in this building that we're in.
Really?
Yeah, in 2013, the Boy organization, it used to be known as the Boy Scouts. Uh-huh. They just changed their name recently.
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
They met in this building and decided to change their membership standards, which was the beginning of what people would say is the end of Boy Scouts. And that's led them to today. But they started here, so it's kind of crazy being back on that.
What a full circle moment.
Isn't that something?
That is something. Yeah. Well, you know, if you started your advertising business at 22, and it took you 7 years to close it, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that sounds like a very successful business.
it was going really well.
So for you to walk away from that, and not only that, but go back to school, did you ever have any moments where you questioned that decision?
I don't think so. Not that I can remember. I mean, at the time, it just seemed like this is a God thing. So I spent 8 or 9 years building it. We had offices in Florida and in Atlanta, and we were doing national business. And it was just, I just couldn't do it anymore. Dr. Jessica, I was traveling way too much, and a single guy, and it just was not, like, I couldn't be home on the weekends and go to church, and so I made a decision that I'm going to do something else, and began to find my way into ministry opportunities. So I was running the homeless ministry the same time I was shutting down the advertising agency, and then I went back to school at the same time that I was shutting it down. And eventually, what started as a one-man agency went back to a one-man agency. And then eventually, my last two clients both sold their businesses in the same month after being with me for 15 years.
Really?
And that was, to me, was God saying, okay, you're through. He had them 15 years in the same month for them both to sell totally unrelated businesses, national businesses, for them to sell at the same time, which is, okay, I'm done.
Well, you know, I really didn't know what you were going to say, if you had regrets or not, but I think one of the encouraging things about hearing your testimony and saying, no, God called me, and you've had such fulfillment in having what you have. I know, Mark, there are people out there listening right now who feel that tug on their heart, that God is calling them to do something different, and there's so many but what ifs, but what if this, what if I regret it, what if this, what if that. And I find it really encouraging to find people who have walked away and just found such fulfillment and confidence. How did you get to the point where you had that confidence in God's voice?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wrote a book.
Tell me about that.
It's called Why Are We Sitting Here Until We Die? But I actually have it off the market right now because I want to rewrite it with the Trail Life experience, because I wrote it before Trail Life. But it talks about that sense that God is calling us to bigger things. And it takes out of 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a story in there where these four lepers are encamped at a gate outside the city of Samaria that's under siege, and the army's out there standing against them. People inside the city are starving, and one leper says to the other, listen, if we go inside the city, we starve. If we go out there, the enemy's going to slaughter us. But why are we sitting here until we die? And I heard that first in Accra, Ghana. I was at a meeting in Accra, Ghana. I heard a pastor say that, and it's like sometimes you hear a scripture, it's like, I don't think I've ever heard that before, but it just blows up for the first time. And it was a sense of what those lepers decided is, listen, there's nothing going on here. And so they got up at twilight, and they went to go give themselves over to the enemy camp. But at twilight, God also moved at the same time with a sound in the heavenlies, and the enemy scattered at the moment that those lepers stood. And when they got to the camp, the enemy was gone, and all the donkeys and the gear and the food and all that stuff, they took it back to the city and saved the city because they asked a question. I really believe that by them asking that question and by acting on it, that allowed God to move with the sound and delivered to them what was promised, the treasure and the freedom of the city. So I asked that question. I think there's a question in everyone's heart. Why am I sitting here until I die? Why am I sitting, whether I'm sitting in church or I'm sitting in this job and I'm sitting in this room, why am I sitting here until I die? Maybe there's something big that if I ask that question and I stand up, could I be bold enough to go out and march out and achieve whatever it is that God's called me to? And so I've never had any regrets about those. I look at those kind of toll booths along the way, the ad business and then the degrees and mental health counseling. And I ran a finance company for a while. And like I said, traveled around the world putting these events together. And it's like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. But it seems like all of those things pointed to Trail Life and what it is I'm doing today in Trail Life. And I'm just excited. Okay, I wonder what's next. You know, what is he going to do? Because I think God does that. Nothing is wasted. He takes everything. So if you're sitting there and you're wondering, is this really all there is? Why am I sitting here until I die? Maybe it's the time to say, okay, I think God's calling me to stand up and move toward the treasure that he's promised. And at the point that we make that move, I think that he delivers the treasure.
That's so inspiring. I do love it when a scripture comes out like that. Just, why are you sitting here until you die? One of the scriptures for me in that was when Hagar is running away and an angel appears to her and he says, where have you come from and where are you going?
Oh, my goodness.
And I think I thought about that one day. I read that and I thought, oh, my goodness, where that I have never thought about that before. And I thought, okay, where have I come from? Well, I've come from a background where I had a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, a lot of hard experiences and family that was struggling with addiction. And where am I going? well, where could I go on my own, or where could God take me? And I have learned, Mark, and it sounds like you are affirming this too, that God's story for me, his journey, his plans, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And anything that I could have dreamed of my own, if I had done my own dream, I would have just gotten my associate degree nurse and I'd still be working in a pediatric clinic, which was great. It was really fun. Sure. But I don't know that I would have the family that I have, and I certainly wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today. So here we are. I feel like two unlikely stories. Yeah. And here we are. Well, let's start talking about Trail Life and what that is, because you're very excited about it, and I'm excited about it too. And that may be somebody's story that they need to hear today. They need to get connected.
Yeah. Trail Life has been around about 11 years. We started out of that decision that the Boy Scouts made in this decision in this building, that we knew that churches were no longer going to be able to align with Boy Scouts at some point, and that churches needed an unapologetically Christian alternative to the Boy Scouts. And so that's what we've been doing about the last 10 years. Now we have 65,000 members in all 50 states, over 1,300 churches participating in Trail Life. And we're the Christ-centered, boy-focused outdoor program for boys from 5 years old and all the way up to 17 years of age. And so it's been quite an experience watching God build that thing, you know, because I'm probably the most unlikely person to be doing it. I wasn't in Boy Scouts. My sons were in Boy Scouts. I attended with them because I was a homeschool dad, and you don't drop your kids at anything. So I was there, but I was not a member of Boy Scouts, was not a leader in that troop, but somehow got swept up into this movement with some. We said, somebody has to do something about this. And, of course, it's only gotten worse in a culture that really discounts men and boys at a rapid pace. Boys are really confused about who they are. And so Trail Life is, we are unapologetically Christian and boy-focused. We think that boys and girls are different. And because you're a physician, you understand they are different. And any legitimate science points to the differences between boys and girls. And it may be politically incorrect to say it, but we think that boys need programs that are aimed at their strengths. It's not a value statement. It's not that boys are better than girls or girls are better than boys. It's just that they're different. And so Trail Life, both on the Christ-centered point and on the boy-focused point, we are not going to shift from that place. And unfortunately, that's what the Boy Scouts has done. Just recently, they changed their name. They no longer have boy in the title of the name anymore. They're just not an organization that's focused solely on boys. And we just think that's tragic for boys. And so Trail Life USA is kind of filling that gap.
Well, I definitely want to dive into that, but you're right, Mark. You know, for me as a nurse practitioner, I have a really vested interest in holistic health. And one of the things that I see that's impacting boys is the rise of social media, because boys are impacted by social media. We know girls are more likely to have anxiety and depression. Boys are more likely to engage in risk-taking behaviors. One of the things that I'm seeing boys targeted by is extortionists, a lot of times from other countries, who will engage with them online on social media, and they will think that they're talking with a peer. They think they're talking with a pretty girl. And then all of a sudden they're giving pictures that are intimate, and then all of a sudden they're being extorted for money. So these are some of the things that I worry about when I see boys who are isolated, who are alone. They're more likely to engage in risk-taking behaviors online and offline. And I've been talking a lot about sextortion in particular, but I think that one of the antidotes to this is having them engaged with a community, a faith-based community, where they're moving their bodies, engaging their minds, and nourishing their spirits to help them develop their identity. And that's something that they can do in Trail Life. So when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about Trail Life and how boys can engage in that. And I know that was kind of a heavy transition, but this is the reality of some of the things that are facing boys today. And so if you're listening out there and you're thinking, okay, you know, my son is like looking for something. He's looking for community. Maybe he's finding that in church. Maybe he's had difficulty finding that. It may be Trail Life. And now as we're getting to the spring, the weather's warmer, there's lots of opportunities for camps and other outside activities. So I really want to challenge all of the parents of boys out there to think about enrolling your son, because they need community. They need faith-based community. We'll talk more about that with Mark Hancock when we come back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. I'll praise when I'm not. From the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas, I've got an in-studio guest, Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA. Our prescription for hope today is enjoy the great outdoors. As you're starting to think about spring and summer, we're talking all things boys today. We're focusing on the needs that boys have. And right before the break, I was talking with Mark about some of the threats that I'm really concerned about. Mark, you're the dad of 2 boys. I'm the mom of 2 teenage boys. I see the landscape. They're facing things like sextortion, which I was talking about, and that's something that's rising. I'll be giving more information about that. We're seeing things like looks maxing, where we see companies that have previously been marketing to girls cosmetic products and things to make them look more beautiful. Well, we're seeing that marketers see, hey, there's an untapped market here. Boys will buy these products too. So we see influencers trying to tell them how to mew. That's M-E-W, and I'm not talking about cats. I'm talking about jaw exercises to make their jaw look more chiseled, or even in some extreme cases, surgery. We're talking about boys who maybe your son, you're thinking, okay, he's spending too much time on video games, but I'm not sure what to do about that. There are a lot of unique threats that are encompassing boys who are looking for good role models on what does it mean to be a man when they're told that masculinity is toxic. How can they grow up in a healthy way? And we're talking about Trail Life. I really want to encourage you to help your boy in whatever way have some sort of outdoor adventure experience. And that's what comes here. So, Mark, let's start with just the landscape that's facing teenage boys. You're a dad. You've seen your boys grow up now. They're adults now. How's that changed since when they first started in Boy Scouts? You said they were in Boy Scouts. And how have you seen that change as a dad?
Yeah, they have. I mean, it's an entirely different world out there than the one that I was raised in, and even the one that my son's as young as they are, it's changed drastically.
Isn't that
unbelievable? They don't even recognize the teenage world right now, and they're not too far removed from that, but it's shocking how quickly culture is shifting and introducing new things to kids that they were never exposed to. I remember 2013, around this decision of the Boy Scouts, when I had to sit down with my boys and explain them why we could no longer do that. And I had to have a conversation with my sons about human sexuality that I never anticipated needing to have. But now everything is just so open to kids, and just so they can't get away from a sexualized culture, which is really sad.
It's really hard because we have to have those conversations. And there's a lot of conversations I feel like as parents, I sit there and talk to my kids and I think, oh, I wish I wasn't. I wish I didn't have to talk to you about this. But I think it's important for us, Mark, as parents to have those conversations, to position ourselves as experts. And we don't have to tell them every awful thing. We just have to give them enough in a developmentally appropriate lens. And that's something that Trail Life does. So for me, looking at Trail Life, I know that boys need community more than anything now. And we see COVID deeply impacted the way that boys socialize, the way that they get together. If you want to scare someone in Gen Z, this is what you do. You just show up at their door without texting or calling and you knock. Mm-hmm. And they're like, What are they doing here? What kind of you know, animalistic place is this? Like, do you have manners? But they want that socialization, but it's hard for them to have it. So talk about the community that Trail Life gives.
Yeah, well, it really is sad what it is kids are facing together, the virtual communities out there that have totally changed the way that people interact. It's so rare to run into a young person who will look you in the eyes when you're talking to them.
Shake your
hand.
They
don't know how to, they just don't know how to connect. And especially that COVID generation, how much they lost through that period of time. So it's really sad. So in Trail Life USA, because we're creating these troops and these patrols, these opportunities for boys to have a community, it's scratching the itch of a boy. Listen, boys are always looking for three things. Who's in charge? Who's with me? And what is our mission? And when you can answer those three questions for a boy, you've got him. And when those questions aren't being answered for them, they're going to find something else to influence them or something else to influence. So maybe it's a virtual world, or maybe it's a social media site or a conversation or one of these influencers. They're the ones who are now in charge. But if you can provide, if you can set boys in a setting and you can give them somebody who's in charge that they will follow after, they'll become part of that community. And that's exactly what's happening with these online virtual communities. That's where they're connecting to. And that's it. So with Trail Life USA, we're very intentional about declaring who's in charge, whether it's these adults in the room or the boys are placed in a patrol where there's a patrol leader who's another boy that he looks up to and he follows after. Who's with me? We put them in a patrol where they have a name for the patrol, so that gives them that sense of identity. I am a red squirrel or a purple tiger or whatever the name of their patrol. But that's giving them that sense. This is who I belong to. And then what's our mission? When boys don't clearly have a mission, they'll create one of their own, and usually it's not going to be healthy, like you talked about earlier. They're drawn to risk and competition, which is a good thing.
Right.
That's how we end up freeing the world of tyranny when we storm the beaches of Normandy or getting on top of a rocket ship and going or crossing an uncharted ocean. It's important to have that risk and competition, but if it isn't directed by a community that says, hold on, you know, this is what we do. This is who it is that we are. That boy can be lost or taken away easily. That's why gangs grow so quickly. Who's in charge? Who's with me? What is our mission? They're really good at that. So when we become really good at that as Trail Life USA, we're attracting boys to something that answers us through questions, those three questions. Boys will die for a gang because they answer those questions really well. They'll go to jail for that gang. They answer that question really well, and the boys are all in. So in Trail Life USA, we're creating a positive community, a Christ-centered community of boys who understand who's in charge, who's with me, what is our mission. And that answers their questions, all their questions of esteem. Because, hey, we don't do that, or we do that, because they want to be part of that community. Boys want to be part of that community, and so they will follow after that community, particularly if it's something that's challenging and has a little bit of a risk involved. And you can't call them to your community. It's very difficult to get boys engaged on a basketball team that doesn't keep score because there's no win going. There's no sense of purpose. There's no what is our mission? What's our mission? We're just going to run back and forth for a while? No, our mission is to win. So when you can create that sense of risk and competition for boys in a healthy way, they go all in, and it's beautiful. And the self-esteem questions that are answered there are so key to a boy. You know, boys' self-esteem comes from what they believe that the people who know them the best believe about them. So if you put them in an environment with good Christian men, good, strong, godly men that they can follow after, it becomes valuable to them what that godly man thinks about them. And that builds their self-esteem. Mr. So-and-so liked the way that I led the patrol, or liked the way that I led a devotional, or liked the way that I led the team to the peak of the mountain, or to the water source, or to set up camp, whatever it is. He liked that. And that's what's building that boy's self-esteem, because they understand the people that are most important about them, to them, what they think about them. So when you take that in-person person out of the picture, they're looking to the virtual world. So what does social media think about me? What does that influencer think about? Well, I'm not good looking enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not handsome enough. Whatever it is, and that's what they're trying to attain, is that approval from another place. And it's impossible. And that's why boys, you know, the 10 to 14-year-old boys' fastest growing demographic is suicide. Because they're not finding people who can affirm for them who it is that they are in a positive way. They've lost their connection with a male-centric environment of men who can say to them, this is good. What you're doing is good. Yes, you failed. It was hard. But you got up and you tried again. That was good. Those are the kind of lessons that build self-esteem in boys and keep them from getting lost. In a generation, we have more young men living in homes than since they started counting that in the census in 1960. It's that failure to launch thing. Because they're not finding people to tell them, this is what success looks like. You know, one in four boys now doesn't have a man in his household. 76% of public school teachers are female. 80-something percent of Sunday school teachers are female. And so girls have these wonderful role models of what it looks like to be a strong woman. Boys are lacking that. And so we're giving them that male-centric environment where boys can say, I identify with that man. That's what it looks like to be a man. When you have a Supreme Court justice who can't tell you what a woman is, how can a 10-year-old boy tell you what a man is? That's what a man looks like. That's what a good man looks like. That's what I can be. And so he begins to set in himself the mark, the milestones, the path to get to that manhood. When he doesn't have that, he's totally lost. And he's dependent on some virtual person off somewhere else on his phone telling him who it is that he should be. And that's why so many of them are losing their way.
You're right. And it is concerning when we're seeing suicide trends younger and younger. And one of the reasons for that is because boys are more impulsive. They do take risks. They tend to choose more violent means. And they're just impulsive. And all of a sudden, they're more afraid of living than they are of dying. And I think it's important for us to see the balance in that, though, and recognize that that impulse for risk-taking behavior is God-given. We want boys to take risk. It's what makes them protectors, like you said, of their families, of liberty, of free the world from tyranny. It's what makes them entrepreneurs and take risks and have companies with technologies that better our lives and those kinds of things. And I think about, you know, Mark, when I first became a mom, I had my girls first, and I thought I was a pretty good mom. And it turns out I was a good mom, but I was a good girl mom. I was not prepared for boys, and the Lord humbled me. And actually, with my producer, our children grew up together, and she had her son, and I had my daughter, and they were probably about 3 years old. We had them on this playground, and I saw her son going up to this fire pole, but he wasn't sliding down it. He was just jumping off of the platform. Mm-hmm. And Mark, I confess right here, I was very judgy of said person right there. I was thinking, why is she not even watching her son? Like, this is so dangerous. She had her back turned to him, and I went over to him, and I said, you know, you might want to look and see what your son is doing. And she said, why do you think I have my back turned? I can't watch it. And, you know, I didn't realize until I had boys that, you know, trying to keep them from taking every risk is like holding back the tide. You can't. They are going to find something. My boys put 100 paper plates on the wall for Nerf gun practice because that's just what they did. You know, they turned their bunk bed into a slide. This is what they do. But Trail Life provides them a safe construct for that because we want them to have risk-taking behaviors. We want them to go out and be independent. Tell us more about that element of risk, because I think this is something that we should embrace.
Yeah, well, the saddest thing that I heard when Boy Scouts began to allow girls in the program was a troop master saying, we love having girls in our program because they're so much smarter and better behaved.
Oh.
And I thought, you know, he's right. Yeah. He's right, because developmentally, boys and girls are different. Girls are smarter earlier. Eventually, boys catch up. But they're also more disciplined around certain things. And so those troop leaders were saying to those boys what is being said in everywhere the boys go. You don't fit here. Why can't you sit still like Susie? You know, there's something wrong. That girls or boys are some kind of defective girl or something. So it's really tragic. But when we can understand the place of risk and competition in the lives of boys, you get 5-year-old boys come up to you and they ask you if they can go to the water fountain. It's a race. I mean, your yes is the starter's pistol, you know, and they're off. They're going to turn into a race. They're naturally drawn to that. And so if we can stop punishing for that or shaming them for being competitive and understand that that's part of their nature. That's who it is that they are. And if we can tolerate things like the fact that boys don't believe that there's a tree that should not be climbed, you know. I mean, you can argue, you can tell them all day, hey, it's that tree's making oxygen, you know. But the boys are like, no, that's their side gig. You know, that tree's there for me to climb it.
Yeah.
They're just different. And to understand that, our boys, and tolerate that chaotic environment. We tell our troop leaders all the time, if you have your boys in a classroom, if it looks like the Sunday school room or looks like a school classroom, you've already lost them. Because that's a place they walk into. Sit still, be quiet, pay attention. They are not wired to do any one of those things. And so they automatically feel like they don't fit. And that's why it's tragic. An organization used to have their name on it, Boy Scouts, is now saying, you don't fit here either. So in Trail of USA, we say to our boys, you fit here. It's okay. We know that you're a little bit rambunctious. You know, because that troop master, that scout master who said girls are smarter and better behaved, likely if you ask the girls, they would probably say, hey, these boys are a little bit rambunctious. You know, it's just the way that it is. And it's not a social construct. I'm sure that your friend didn't, like, you know, teach her son, hey, listen, you better start jumping off of things. That's what you need to do. He came wired that way. Now, boys in the womb behave differently than the girls in the womb. This isn't somebody telling, hey, you're a boy, you need to jump off the high things.
Right.
No, they're wired that way. God made them that way in a beautiful, wonderful way. And the strengths that women have and girls have is just incredible. It's beautiful. But we have to respect those things and honor those things. And that's what helps boys to feel like they're part of something bigger than they are, rather than they just don't fit.
You know, I remember my son coming home from kindergarten, and I asked him, what did you learn today? And he said, I learned that when the little hand is on the 10 and the big hand is on the 6, we get to go outside. That's what he learned.
Yep.
But you're right. They're different. Well, when we come back, Mark, I want to talk about some of the practical ways that people can get involved with Trail Life. What does that look like? I know there's different opportunities for different age groups. I know that you partner with the church. Just give us a little brief overview here of how that works, how you join.
Yeah.
Where can people go to learn more?
Yeah, traillifeusa.com, two L's in the middle, traillifeusa.com. You go to get connected, and you can find a troop. There's a map of the United States. You put in your zip code, it'll show you the troops that are nearby. Or you can also start a troop if you don't have one in your church yet.
You know, I agree. Too many boys are turning to the virtual worlds of TV and video games and digital media. One of the things I've been looking at, Mark, recently is the industry of gaming chairs. It blew my mind. But there's obviously money because people are spending so much time, which I'm not going to talk about the virtues of gaming or not. I'm just saying sitting in a chair for 8 hours every day is not good for anybody. But the internet, you know, they've got so many things that are coming out of them and that are coming after them, really, that are trying to get their time, trying to say, you belong here. And most of that is driven by marketing and the algorithm because people want to sell a product. Trail Life is something where the intent is noble. The intent is good. The intent is to come alongside families, to partner with churches and parents across America, and to help your boys develop character and get outside and have some adventure and take some risks. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the different things that you offer. We're talking riflery, archery, canoeing, and how you teach character and leadership. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Mark Hancock on Trail Life USA.
Here's Dr. Michael Kruger from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
From the very start, it seems that these books had a level of authority. And a good example of this is Paul's own letters. When Paul wrote, he wrote with the authority of an apostle. An authority of an apostle is one who speaks for Jesus. And so he spoke in his writings with the highest possible authority you could speak with. He was speaking, in one sense, the words of God to people, and people received it as such. They were to obey Paul's letters. They were to follow Paul's letters as the words of Christ. They were to read Paul's letters publicly. So the idea that these books started off just as occasional letters or historical documents and that only slowly, gradually over time did they gain authority of Scripture, I don't think is borne out by the historical evidence. The evidence indicates that the authors knew they were writing Scripture and the early church received it as Scripture from a very early time.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Here am I, only take my life.
That is Take My Life and Let It Be by Passion and Chris Tomlins. And we're talking today with Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA, who has just shared your own story of giving your life to the Lord and letting Him use it for His good, for our good, and for His glory. He has so many accolades. Let me tell you, he was named to the American Family Association's 40 Faithful. He's an author, an award-winning writer, a conference speaker, and right now he's the chief executive officer of Trail Life USA. And Mark, we've been talking about the importance of boys being seen. Culture. And I think it's really important. You know, we are really good as a society about telling boys what they shouldn't do, you know, what's unacceptable behavior, what they should limit, but we don't really provide them, I see, with compelling alternatives. And so a lot of times they're just looking for community, they're looking for identity. And I think what parents really need to know is that if you're not intentional in curating that kind of community, that kind of support system, if you're not proactive in that, and you're just kind of waiting to see what happens, there are competing messages who definitely want the heart and mind of boys, mostly for marketing. And that's what we're talking about. An option for them might be Trail Life USA.
Yeah, we love Trail Life USA for an option for families, but not just for that boy. Of course, we're focused on that boy and raising the next generation of godly men. But men in the program, you'd be surprised at how many men we have in the program who don't even have a son in the program. Doctor, it's crazy. But they're there because they found their band of brothers. They found the people who share the values that they have. And they're able to do something that gives them purpose and identity. And where maybe in the church they're having trouble finding out, you know, where do I minister? Do I go to the children's church? Do I go to the nursery? Where do I fit? There's a guy up front who talks, but that seat is taken. What do I do? And so they're discovering Trail Life. And so we have these men who, like I said, don't even have sons in the program, but they've discovered this amazing brotherhood. We got an email from a woman who said, "My husband I've gone to church, but he's never had Christian friends. But he got involved in Trail Life, and he's been around these Christian men. He sees that their lives are real. I could drag him to church, and he could see, yeah, those guys pull it together for an hour or so on Sunday morning. But now he's out camping with these guys on the weekend, taking boys out. And he sees that their lives are real." She says, "My husband has become a believer because of a Trail Life."
Wow.
Yeah. And then he's got the single mom who's got her son at home, says, What do I do with him? You know, where do I find a good Christian man?" And they cry out to God. They say, "God, what am I going to do?" You know, a woman in Virginia met me at a fireside. She said, "I need to thank you for Trail Life." She said, "My 10 years ago, my husband died and left him with a 2-year-old son. And I cried out to God for men that would surround my son, help him find out how to be a godly man. And now he's 12 years old. He's a navigator in Trail Life USA, and he's surrounded by godly men, and my husband would want me to thank you." I mean, I know. We had a boy a couple months ago out in California, a single mom. He stood in front of that group of men. He earned one of our highest awards, and in thanking them, he had a speech, and he said, "I want to thank the men in this room. You taught me how to shave, and you taught me how to love Jesus." And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, if you're the mom sitting there, the single mom, it's like, okay, nailed it. We're good. Yeah. And so the benefit is beyond just on that point. And then dads and sons, it's so hard for men to connect with their sons in this world, in the virtual world. You know, I started playing some Minecraft with my sons. They were into Minecraft. I said, "I'm going to spend time with my sons." I could not keep up with them.
Oh, no.
You know? And so I just don't have the time. I have, like, a job. So so I couldn't keep up with them. But I'll tell you what, in the outdoors, it's a level playing field. I found a place that I could connect with my sons. And we enjoyed that together, going out there and trying to figure out, how do these guys start a fire with wet leaves? And we solve that together. We figure it out together. It's a level playing field and a way for me to connect with my sons that just didn't exist for me before Trail Life. So it's checking all these boxes, giving men, single moms, boys, dads, father-son relationships, opportunities to grow.
That's so encouraging to think about, because you do think about a lot of the volunteer opportunities at church. It is mostly women. But then, you know, guys think, like, what am I supposed to do? Show up in the nursery? Like, maybe you're the rare guy that they won't think, what? You know, what is
danger,
that?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. All of those things. But it helps when you have things like dodgeball and canoeing and riflery and archery. Talk about some of those specific things that you provide, because some people out there might be thinking, hey, my son might be interested in this. What could they tell them as a pitch to their son
Yeah.
To be wanting to get engaged.
Yeah, well, our troops are all over the board in the things that they do. Now, we've had troops climb mountains, do these huge high-adventure things. We have troops. Most of our troops camp about once a month. And then usually during the summer, they'll do a summer adventure, maybe whitewater rafting or backpacking or some kind of a really challenging sort of thing. So it's all over the board, but archery, riflery, you know, our badges. We have badges in 7 different frontiers that allow boys to expose themselves to all sorts of things. Our highest award is called the Freedom Rangeman, and it's harder to get than the Eagle. And one of the things they have to do is write a life ambition essay. And I read every single one of those essays. And I usually do them on airplanes. That's what I do is I read my life mission essays. And I can't tell you how many times a boy will start out saying, you know, I thought I wanted to be a whatever. But through Trail Life USA, this badge, I found out that I wanted to be a. And now I'm a Freedom Rangeman. I go off to college next year, and I'm majoring in that thing that I discovered because I was exposed to these 7 frontiers in Trail Life USA. And I discovered I had a love for something that I had no idea I had a love for. And so it's just beautiful as boys get exposed to new things through the opportunities in Trail Life. Of course, it is a robust adventure program, but we also have values badges. We have a badge called Family Man that tells a boy how to be a godly man, what it means to be a godly family man. And it's not all the scripture that's kind of crammed at them. We talk about it like carrot cake. You get a piece of carrot cake, you don't have big hunks of carrot, but you got carrot in every bite. And that's how Christ is infused for you on our program. You're going to find Jesus everywhere, but it's not in these big honking kind of ways. It's manageable. We're unapologetically Christian, but it's not like Sunday school in the outdoors. So boys don't feel like it's really churchy, but all along the way, they're getting these scriptural, biblical principles and, of course, seeing men around them who are living biblical, scriptural lives. And it's just really making a big impact on boys.
Well, that's how we're commanded to do it. Talk about these things as you walk along the road, even if it's a road up a mountain or wherever it is, all of that adventure. You know, you mentioned the highest honor that you have, and I think that this is something I hear a lot from parents because there is a prestige that is associated with being an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents think, I want my child to have that for college applications. Talk a little bit about the different paradigm. You just said it was harder. It's more difficult to get. What do boys have to do?
Well, my oldest son is an Eagle Scout, and then he transferred over to Trail Life, and Trail Life started, and he got the Freedom Rangeman Award. It took him about a year and a half beyond the Eagle to get his Freedom Rangeman. Yeah, but it has some values, badges, and some faith elements that you're just not going to find in the Eagle Scout. And so he loves having that, and we have yet to find a Freedom Rangeman who is not able to get the same scholarship that an Eagle Scout got in college. Sometimes they need to tell the university, hey, have you ever heard of Trail Life? This is what I did. And they gladly offer them the same scholarship. Even in the military, the advancements there are the same between the Eagle Scout and the Freedom Rangeman. So we've never encountered a challenge there. But it's quite a pursuit to see young men go on that. And typically, like my son in Boy Scouts, I think he was 13 when he got his Eagle. You can't get your Trail Life through the regular process until maybe you're 16 at the youngest. Most of them that I see are 17 or even 18 years old. We give them 6 months past their 18th birthday to wrap things up. So most of them I see are boys who are 17. It just can't be done quickly. But we're finding, we learned a lot of stuff from Boy Scouts. We're finding in Boy Scouts, boys are getting at 13, 14 years old, and then they were leaving the program because they're like, I got the thing, I'm done. In our program, that can't be earned until they're older.
Well, I think they just need that community. I know that when kids face trauma in their life, whether it's a big T trauma or a little T trauma, the number one predictor of resilience is meaningful connection to an adult and a healthy relationship. So having that, whether it's their Trail Life leader, whether it's their dad as they're engaging with them, and I love the ways that you describe that for dads and sons to be able to engage together. That is a really beautiful thing. That's important to have that for lifelong. And one of the things I know that you really emphasize a lot is character development. And I can see that going along with that developmental continuum. A 13-year-old boy is not at the same developmental place, even as far as from a character standpoint, being able to have those characteristics because of the way that they think. They're very concrete thinkers. And having them walk alongside them, I think that's really appealing. So how do you emphasize and help character building. Yeah. That's just as important as the skills.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you look at one of our core values, it says we're character-focused, not awards-focused. So although we have a robust awards program, because boys like that, they don't want a participation trophy. They want to know, I worked at that, I earned that. If they get the badge, they earned it. They weren't given it. And so they want to know that. That keeps them engaged, a challenge in front of them. But at the same time, we're reminding our men, you know, if the boy doesn't get an award, but he's growing in character, and you're able to model for him Christ-likeness in front of him, and he's picking up on that stuff, that's fine. That's really the objective of the program. We talk about this a lot in the founding of the program. If every boy in the program became a Freedom Rangeman, but he wasn't closer to Christ, or his relationship with his family wasn't stronger or more healthy, if he wasn't better positioned to be a good husband, father, and citizen, then we failed. I don't care what award he got. We failed him in front of him. And that's all character-based. Now, certainly, there's a lot of character involved in doing the badge, particularly if it's a difficult badge. And we don't shy away from failure. You know, in a culture that shields boys from failure, let's not keep score because we could hurt their feelings, you know. Or let's give everybody a trophy because we don't want anyone to feel left out. No, we give trophies and we keep score. And when you look at what the video game world does right, that's what they do right. They keep score. They have levels. It's very clear where they are. The boys can fail, and then they can try harder and come back and succeed, and that feeds their self-esteem. We're afraid of letting them fail in the real world. We don't understand. Boys can handle failure. Every time we try to shield our boys from failure, we're telling them, you're just not brave. You're not brave enough for this world. And that's why I said earlier, that's why they have so much trouble succeeding in the real world. It's like, I'm afraid. I've been told that if we keep score, I'm going to get my feelings hurt. So how work must be really hard. so we create these opportunities for them to try something difficult, and that brings a great sense of self-esteem, even if they fail the first time. And what a great life lesson. I can't tell you how many things I've learned. I've learned most of what I've learned through failure. I don't know if it's the same for you. But you get the opportunity to get back and try harder at it and say, you know, you don't walk away from it. You say, you know what, I'm gonna work at that. And so there's a lot of character in that. My son, when he got his archery badge, he was just having the worst time with it. But we were at a camp, and he asked the director of the archery range, he says, can I come back during my lunch hour? During lunch. And he was the only one out there, and he just sat there and worked at it, and then said, he still didn't get it. He said, can I come back after it's closed tonight? And the guy was like, he was so impressed with my son. He says, I'm going to hang with you until you get this thing. Because he was just so impressed with how he really wanted. He wanted to earn it. He didn't want to give it. And he worked at it. And I can tell you that badge that he was the worst at, he's the most proud of that badge. And a lot of the other ones just came easily to him. So, you know, we know that that's true. When you work at something, you evaluate a lot more. And so boys have the awards program is valuable. They're learning character along the way, and character trumps those awards every day in trail life. It's one of our core values.
It's a really interesting double standard because video games are obviously so successful. Mm-hmm. It's a huge industry. And you're right, though. It's built on keeping score, competition. And what are those three questions that you said?
Who's in charge? Who's with me? What is our mission?
Yeah, exactly. I can see how that's there. Mm-hmm. But having these outside activities, I really want to encourage you to get your kids outside this summer. One of the things I love doing, Mark, every summer is volunteering as a camp nurse. Mm. And so often I see kids who have clearly not been outside a day in their life, you know, and they come, and it's interesting how all of a sudden the social dynamic shifts. Because when you take away the cell phone, when you take away the video game, and you take away, like, we don't have that, it's like all of a sudden, oh, wait, you know how to put a worm on a hook? Like, that's kind of cool. Or, oh, you're just going to go, like, hike up that trail? Like, but you don't have a phone and, like, you don't know where people are. It's just so interesting to see that social dynamic shift. But I know for boys to be holistically healthy, they've got to be out. They've got to be active. They've got to have an adventure. And I'm very appreciative, Mark, for everything that Trail Life does to provide a safe place for them to take risks and for them to learn that character, to find community, and to provide a positive alternative. So quit telling your boys to get off their screens, get off their phones, get off their video games, and give them something compelling to do. And maybe that's Trail Life. Tell us once more how to find you.
TrailLifeUSA.com. Go to Get Connected. You can find a trip or you can start one.
Okay, and that was with two L's, traillifeusa.com. Thank you so much, Mark, for all that you do as a dad, as a CEO, as a converted advertising accountant. Okay, we appreciate everything that you're doing. Thanks so much for joining us live here from Dallas, and we'll see you here tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the girls. And so I look forward to that. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, and we'll see you back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.